the sole purpose of asking her to come back up again, and we can honour her. She's only been back full time a couple of weeks, but I know from what a lot of you have been saying, you've missed this preacher and the wisdom that she imparts. So, Generations Church, could you please, in a usual generous fashion, welcome our preacher, Pastor Jory.
Morning.
Good morning.
You notice I've had two mics on all morning because I'm that quiet that they just need to mic me up twice. Okay. Hope you're doing well. And I'm praying that what I bring this morning is something that is going to challenge us. We're going to do something at the end that is a little bit different, possibly a little bit chaotic. But that's kind of what I do, so, and I do it quite well. I do chaos well. It's organized chaos. I am Monica, and if you watched Friends, you'll know exactly what I mean by that. So we're going to have a bit of organized chaos at the end. But I want to talk to us out of a verse in 2 Chronicles this morning. And I talked about this probably about 4 years ago, and it's come back round and just got into my spirit yesterday. And so I've changed what I was going to bring. But in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says this. So we're ready for this. So you ready? This is the word of God. So if it's too challenging, blame the Lord. Okay? It's not. This is the word of God this morning. And it says this. If my people, who knows this morning, if you are in Christ, you are included in that.
That's right.
Put up your hand if you're in Christ and included in that.
Yep.
So I'm talking to you this morning, okay? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. If is a very small word and is one that sometimes I use a lot in my other job, being a parent. And so, or actually when I was youth pastor or kids pastor, actually sometimes in adult church, and people come and say, can I do this? And sometimes it's, well, if this happens, or, you know, to my kids, if you behave, then maybe we will do that. You see, if is a very small word, but a lot of people tag a lot of meaning onto it. A lot of people, especially children, think that when you say if, you say yes. And anyone else ever experienced that? You say, if this happens, and they automatically go, yes. They automatically go, that means that's it. Mum has said yes. That's it. It's going to happen. Well, no, I said if. No, no, no. If and yes are exactly the same word. And a lot of people think that when we say if, what we're actually doing is we are saying yes. It's two letters, but it's powerful as it gives the assumption something will be done, but the get-out clause of no promise being made. If gives the assumption that something's going to be done. I'm going to do something, but it makes no promise. It gives you a get-out clause. And I love the way God orchestrated this verse, because when he talks about us, he uses the word if. And when he talks about himself, he uses the word then. You see, God's promises to us are very different to our promises to God. A lot of the time we bring a promise, but it's kind of an if promise. If you do this, God, then I will do that. Have you ever said that to God? Am I the only one that has ever done that? God, if the number 91 bus comes along in 7 minutes, then I will go and do this for you. If you read the story of Gideon in the Bible, okay, and Gideon says, okay, if there's dew on the ground but not on the fleece, then I know you're talking to me. So God does it. And then he says, if there's dew on the fleece but not on the ground, then I'll go and do it. There's an if. God, if you do this, I'll do that. And God comes and God gives this promise. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, will pray, then. You see, when God promises us, there's never an if to God's promise. Right. When God comes and says, then I will do this. If you do that, guys, then I will move. Then I will do something. And God's then is his promise. And when God promises, he always fulfills. Right. And I want to talk to us this morning about this verse. You see, God is steadfast, but he knows that we are not. And he knows that sometimes we come and say, God, I'll do this. And then life happens and stuff happens and we end up not doing it. God knows our frailty as human beings, and he makes exception for that, but God still says, you know what, guys, if you will come, I will move. Right. And that's basically what I want to say to us this morning. If you remember no other line from what I'm speaking, remember this. If we will come, he will move. Yes. Right. But sometimes we've got to come. Sometimes we've got to make that effort. Sometimes we've got to come and we've got to lay aside our own things, and we've got to come to him. I want to talk about that to us this morning. What gets in your way of you spending time with God? What gets in the way of you coming and spending time with him? All the excuses that we have seem valid, and God just waits for you to come, because then he will move. God just waits for you to come so that then he can move. I want to give us, before we get really into this verse, I want to give us a context of 2 Chronicles 7 and look at what is around this scripture just so that we can really realize where God is saying this. Do you know, this was a great time in Israel's history. Solomon had just finished building God's house. And we're told that this is a place where God dwells, where he lives, where he lingers. It says in the Amplified Version. It was a time of celebration where communities came together. But you know what? I think God knows that sometimes these times can be as distracting as tough times. Sometimes our celebration time can be as distracting as those circumstances of life that come to steal our focus. You see, because in tough times we realize our vulnerability and we cling on to God. In the amazing times, though, we can sometimes forget our need of him and our life with him. When everything's going well, and I'm going to talk about this later, but we've reduced prayer to a list of things that we want God to do for us. And so when everything's going well, we don't always have the need to come to him. And that's a little bit what it was like in this time that the Israelites were living when this bit of Chronicles was written. God's people had got what generations before them had only ever dreamt about. They were living in the promised land and having a place where God's presence lived. Solomon called this house God's resting place. I love that. I love that visual where it comes to the house of God. Because what he built in effect was a church. It was the house of God. God's resting place. Oh, that this would be that. When we come in, this is God's resting place, the place where he dwells. And we know now that it isn't just in buildings that God dwells, but he dwells within us. When we allow God to make his home in our lives, God dwells within us. I long for my life to be God's resting place. I long for my life to be the place where God lingers, where he just goes, I can't move away from her because she's just in that place. I long for this house to be a place where the presence of God just lingers long after the last chord has been struck. At this time in Chronicles, they were living in a place of celebration. They had got everything that had been prophesied. Everything that they had been told they would have, they had got. They didn't have to carry the Ark of God from place to place anymore. It had a resting place. But God predicts that his people are very much if people. They're very much people that change their mind a lot. And so God brings this verse to them. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. So I want to look at the four ifs this morning. And I want to challenge us. I want to look at the four ifs and bring a challenge to us corporately as well as individually. So the first thing he says, if my people will humble themselves. Everyone say humble themselves. Humble themselves. Okay, we're going to have a bit of participation this morning. Do you know what? This doesn't mean that we don't realize the things that God's put inside us. This doesn't mean that it's woe is us, everyone is better than me. That's not what humbling yourself means. This means that we recognize we need God. That's what it means. When we come and humble ourselves, it means that we recognize that we need God. Do you know this morning that you need God? It's your breath in our lungs. Math prayed it, you know, if we didn't have God's breath, we wouldn't be alive. Do you know this morning in your situation, in your week, in your day today, in your week this week, you need God. Yeah. Sometimes we forget and sometimes we do it on our own. But we need God. We can't fulfill his purposes alone. And if we go through life dependent just on ourselves, then we choose to neglect God and we become arrogant and overconfident. Do you know this morning, I can't do anything really well without the help of God. We can't do what we need to do without him. You need him. I need him. You need him to be the member in your family that you are, whether that is daughter or son or parent or child or, you know, auntie or grandparent, whatever it is within your family context, to fulfill that role, you need him. To be who you need to be in the workplace that you go to, you need him. To be who we need to be in the church of God, we need him. We need to humble ourselves. We just need to realize again, I can't do it without you. Yeah. I don't. In fact, do you know, there are some things that we still will be able to do. If you have a gift, okay, and if you're good at something, if you don't involve God, it doesn't mean that you won't be good at it. It just means you probably won't be as productive in it. Right. So whether I have God with me or not, I can sing. All right? I can do that. It's something that I've been trained to do. It's something that I know how to do. But I know that without him, I don't do it as well as I do it with him. And actually, when it comes to leading worship and when it comes to doing stuff like that, I need God more than I need a good voice. Do you realize that? When you may be absolutely brilliant at administration, and if you are, the Lord bless you. And if you'd like to come and talk to me afterwards, that'd be great. Okay, I love people that are great at admin. And you may be great, but actually when God gets involved with that gifting, it becomes more productive and something else happens with it other than you just punching numbers in all the time. You may be good at something, but actually we still need God, even in those areas where we're good. And what God says in 2 Chronicles is, if my people will humble themselves, will realize again, you need me. You don't do this on your own. You don't go and do the things that I've called you to by yourself. If they will humble themselves. The Bible tells us that our way leads to instability and insecurity, but humility submits to God's plans and submits to God everything that we're going to do. Personal and corporate revival comes when we acknowledge our weakness and our need of God. We've got to come again and realize we can't do it on our own. We can't do it without him. We can't do life without him. So God says, if my people will humble themselves. The first if. The second if is if my people will pray. Everyone say pray. If my people will pray, then I will heal their land. Then I will come and I will do something. Do you know what? There are no shortcuts. There's no other way to experience more of God than praying. Prayer is necessary, both individually and corporately. Do you know what? We have taken prayer, meaning to have a chat with Jesus while we get on with whatever else we're doing. And although I believe that I can do the washing up and pray at the same time, because we're told to pray continually, I also believe that sometimes we've got to push everything else to one side and come and pray. Anyone with me? We've got to push everything else to one side, whether that is individually. I came into my office the other day and I put the do not disturb, I'm in a meeting sign on my door. Not that many people take notes of it, but I put it on there anyway. And there was no one else in my room. I was meeting with God and I didn't want interrupting. So I put the sign, and you can see sometimes people, I'm kind of, you know, when I can hear someone outside the door and they're looking, thinking, she is not in a meeting. She's just having a quick coffee break and some digestives in there. She is not in a meeting. I am. Because sometimes you've got to shove everything else to one side. Sometimes I'm not praying while I'm typing or while I'm doing something else. Sometimes it's not while I'm cleaning the house, although I believe I can talk to God in those moments. Do not get me wrong. If you do that, don't stop. But sometimes we've got to really just come and pray. Sometimes when we pray, we're acknowledging our need of Him. So we're humbling ourselves as we pray because we're saying, God, I can't do this without You. I need You. I'm going to come and talk to You about a few things. I'm going to come and worship. I'm going to come and pray. God wasn't telling Solomon to come and have a chat with him whilst getting on with everything else. He was asking for time where they could communicate. And if you look in history, all major moves of God start with this: if my people will pray. That's what it starts with. Yeah. If my people will pray, if you will come, if you will pray, if you will pray on your own, if you will come together and pray together. Actually, if you will, I will. Yeah. If you'll come, I'll move. And so, has anyone read the September newsletter that's gone out? Okay, if you haven't, you should have got it if you're on our emailing list. And we're changing our prayer thing this month. We're trialing it. So there's going to be a prayer meeting every week in the life of our church at different times. You're going to have to read the newsletter to find out when they are, because I ain't phoning all of you. And we've done it at different times because I want more of you to engage in this. Because if my people will, then I will. And I want the "then I will" to happen. So we've got to do the "if you'll do this, then I'll do that." And I want to say to you this morning, so this week, there is more than one 6:30 in the day. So this Thursday, if you are in work or if you are an early riser, 6:30 a.m., a.m. people. Okay, we're meeting together here in the lounge for an hour. Before you go to work, before the day starts, we're going to meet corporately together and we're going to pray. If my people, God, we need You. Yeah. I'm going to be praying that on Wednesday night where it comes to getting up and getting down here for 6:30 a.m. God, I need You. I might start like Wednesday night and just go all the way through because then I know I'm here. I'm not really going to do that. Okay. So Thursday morning this week, 6:30, we're here, we're praying. The week after, Tuesday, 10:30. If you're not at work, why don't you be here? Because if my people will humble themselves and pray. Yeah. And some of you might say, oh, you know, praying's not for me. Well, it should be. You know, it should be. Then the week after, when it's Connect Groups, Thursday evening, 7:30, here in the lounge, we're going to meet, we're going to pray. And then the week after, Tuesday mornings again. So the Tuesday mornings are staying the same. But then on the other 2 weeks, we're adding things in. For people who can't make the Tuesday mornings, I want to engage as many people as I can. Because God says, if you will do this, then I will. Then I'll hear from heaven. Then I'll move on your land. And we are living in a day where more than ever before, we need God to do something in our land. We need God to move. We need the Holy Spirit to do something. And so this month, we're changing things around a bit so that more of us can engage, so that we can come. We can just let God know, God, we need You. We cannot do this on our own, and we are going to pray. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for our community. We're going to pray for those things in our church that only God can change. Yeah. We're going to pray. I believe this kind of praying will begin to turn things around in some areas for us. William Temple, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, says this: when I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't. I love that. When I pray, oh, coincidences happen. When I don't, they seem to not happen anymore. My people will humble themselves and pray. Thirdly, the third if, it says, if my people will seek my face. Everyone say, seek my face. You're getting a bit quieter as we go through. If my people will seek my face. I want to really major on this morning. We're not coming together all the time to seek God's hand. I want to explain what I mean by that. When we seek his hand, we ask for his provision. We ask for what he can do for us. When we seek his face, we seek his presence, his ways, his attitudes, his changes in our life. We're not here to just give God a list. We're here to seek his face. It's always really funny at the beginning of any prayer meeting that I ever do. I say, right, we're going to spend time. We're just going to thank God. We're not going to ask him for anything. We're going to spend the next 10 minutes or whatever, 15 minutes. We're just going to thank him. We're just going to seek his face. And I can guarantee that we find that really hard because we have reduced prayer down to this is my list. And we do pray four things. Totally and utterly agree with that. We're going to be doing that at the end of our service. We're going to be praying for a few people. We do pray four things. But when we get together to pray corporately, there's going to be a lot of times where we're just going, God, what do you want? Come on, God, talk to us. Talk to us. We seek in your presence because we know that that is what is going to make a difference. There needs to be times where when we are passionate about the presence of God, not just about what he can do for us. We seek his face, his ways, his presence, his answer, not just what he can do for us. God's kingdom will come on earth when his people are hungry for him. Joel, every time we come and gather together, we should come hungry for something of God. We shouldn't just come to be entertained. We shouldn't just come and, you know, we can rate the service on how well everyone else did. Actually, I've started rating our church services on how well I've done. And I don't mean that on how well I've preached or how well I've led. I mean how well I've come into it. Have I come with the right heart? Have I come with the right attitude? Have I come ready to give to God, not just expect to get from him? Have I come ready to pour into the life of our church, not just to get things from it? And so we're going to come and we're going to seek his face. We should come hungry for the presence of God, not just for him to do something for us. And you know, when he does do something, that is incredible. God's done some stuff for Matt and I. Well, we might share at some point. It's more really to do with Matt, but God's done some stuff for us over the last few months while I've been off and Matt had to take time off work. God's done some stuff for us that we've actually not even asked him to do. And it's incredible and it's amazing. But nothing is as amazing as his presence. Nothing is as amazing as the fact that the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, wants to come spend time with you and me. Wow. If my people. So this is for you. If you consider yourself one of his children, this is for you this morning. Will you, I'm asking you the question, humble yourself, pray, seek his face. And then the fourth one says this, if they will turn from their wicked ways. Everyone say, turn from their wicked ways.
Turn from their wicked ways.
Do you know what? God calls us for genuine repentance. When we choose our own path rather than his will, that's not genuine repentance. God wants us to come and turn from those things that don't promote him. He wants us to come and turn from those things that are selfish, turn from those things that make everything about us. He wants us to come and turn from those things that we know are wrong, but we just struggle to walk away from. When we turn from those things, this will bring change. It will change our habits. It will change our lifestyles. We will lay down things that take priority of God in our lives. We'll be changing our plans to suit God's plans. You know what? It's not about trying hard. It's about turning around. It's not about trying hard. It's about turning around. And you know what? When we humble ourselves, when we pray, when we seek his face, we won't be able to help but turn around. Yeah. That's why that one's last. Because like, if I was God, and I really know I'm not, but if I was, I might have put that one first. Because we always want that first, don't we? Everyone should change. Everyone should, you know, I know some churches that it's very much, don't come into church until you've changed. We'll accept you when you've changed. But this is what God says. Do you know what? If you'll come, if my people will humble themselves, we say we need you. Do you know what? That's like becoming a Christian. God, I need you. I've realized you died for me. I've realized you've forgiven me. I've realized I need you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to God is through you, Jesus. I've realized I need you. That's humbling ourselves. If we will pray, that's building a relationship with God. We're talking with God. We're communicating with God. If you'll seek my face. When we do those things, and God has chance to change us from the inside out. He has chance to change our lifestyles. He has chance to change our habits. He has chance to change those attitudes within us that are not right. Do you know what? When we do the first three, the fourth one won't seem such a big deal. The fourth one will be easier because we will be in a relationship with God and we'll turn away from those things that take us away from Him. Because we've realized our need for Him. We've built a relationship for Him. We want His presence, not just what He can do for us. God knows that sometimes we struggle with these things. But He says, if we do these things, then He will. Then He will. He'll hear from heaven. He'll hear from heaven. He will forgive and He will heal our land. Do you know, if God is going to hear and forgive, I was reading it this weekend and God just put this thought, or the Holy Spirit dropped this thought into my mind, that actually when you look at this verse on this side of the cross, so we live after the cross. When God talks about forgiveness, it's talking about salvation. Right. It's talking about, actually, God will bring forgiveness. He'll bring salvation. And there's just something in me. And I'm asking God all the time how we do this. Going, God, give us new blood. New Christians. There's nothing like new Christians. I love them. They haven't got a clue how to act in church. They haven't got a clue what to do. And so they just start. I love it. It brings life into church. It reminds us, okay, why we're on the planet. It reminds us why we're here. Yeah. And I'm like, God, just bring in some people that are going to find you for the first time. At the end of this month, we're going to have a baptism service. And some people have been coming and saying, I want to get baptized. And so at the end of this month, we're going to plan to have a baptism service. I'm not quite sure how we're going to do that yet. I have a few ideas. And the Board of Trustees are meeting soon. So I've got a few ideas about that, about how we're going to do it. We've no baptism tank or anything like that. It's just going to be great. We're going to have a great time, paddling pool or whatever. Okay, we're going to make it happen. And because actually, we're wanting people to progress in their faith. We're wanting people to move forward in their faith. And so we just need to make it happen. But I want to say to you today, when we do the first three things, actually turning around and turning our lives around is going to be something that God helps us with. And then God will hear, He will forgive, and He will heal. Do you know what? The change for our community lies in us getting this right. Do you hear that? The change for our community lies in us getting this right. So I'm asking you, will you humble yourself? God, I need you. Will you come and pray with us? Pray on your own, but will you come corporately? Let's corporately pray. And I'm not just saying for a week, because we're good at that. We're good at, you know, prayer and fasting for a week, and we get together. I'm saying, actually, the future of our church and the future of what God is going to do is going to lie in us getting this right. Yeah. Will you come and pray? Over the next month, will all of you come to one of those? Whether it's the early morning, whether it's the 10:30 on a Tuesday morning, or whether it's the evening on the Thursday, will you come? Let's pray. Let's seek His face. Let's let the Holy Spirit do something incredible. Because if we will come, He will move. If we will what? If we will, He will. If we will, He will. If we will, He will. Do you know what? Some people sit for hours and try to strategize how to get God to do something. Lies in that sentence. If we'll come, he'll move. If we'll come, he'll move. What I want us to do this morning, and if you're quite new to our church, this might, hopefully everybody knows someone in the room, okay? But we're going to come and pray this morning. And we're going to pray for a few things. I don't want the distraction to be, let's talk about what we're going to pray for 10 minutes. Right? We're just going to pray. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to pray for our church. We're going to pray for our community. I want you to pray for Ruth Cox. You know those situations that I said only God? This is one of them. She's messaged me this morning. She's in absolute agony. A thing in her spine has just come up again. And she says, will you just get the church to pray? And so I want every group that you stand in this morning, I want someone to pray for this lady. We love her. She's part of our family. I'm going to go and anoint her with oil soon and just, you know, pray again. We've been coming for 3 years and we're going to keep on coming till God does something. We're going to keep on coming. So in a moment, we're going to get into groups, but I want us to, I don't normally do this, but I really feel prompted by God to do it. Most of you might, if you've opened your emails, might have seen the email from Katie Nazovsky. Her dad is in the final stages of cancer, and she's asked us as a church to pray. So will you just stand with me? This is what we're going to do. She wrote out a prayer that she wants us to pray. Right? So we could pray 101 different things for the family at the moment, and they would all be good. But I love it when people write to us and they're specific in what they want us to pray. I like that because I know that how they want us to engage on their behalf. And so what we're going to do before we split into groups in a moment is we're going to say this prayer that Katie has asked us to pray as a church. Is that okay? Okay. We're going to say this prayer. So I'm going to read a bit out and I want you to echo it. And we're praying on behalf of a family. And I've never been in the situation that Katie is in right now. But some of you will have been. And you'll know the emotions that they're feeling. And you will know the stuff that they're going through. So we're going to come and pray the prayer that she has asked us to pray. She sent a prayer over email. And so we're going to pray that this morning. And so I'm going to read a bit if you can echo it. And we're going to pray it as a church for this family. Okay? And we're going to amen it. And we're going to believe that actually when we pray, he was going to hear from heaven. And he's going to come. And he's going to do what it is this family needs. So she wrote this. Heavenly Father, thank you for your small mercies. At a time when illness becomes unbearable, we pray that Dad will be able to cope on low enough oxygen to be able to be moved to a hospice. We pray this will happen quickly so that he can be in some comfort, surrounded by the care he should have. We pray right now for a bed to become available in your power, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come and we pray as a church. And this morning, what I want us to do, I want us to pray for one another. And there are two people I want us to pray for. I want us to pray for Ruth, I've already said that. And the other one is Jade. Jade's in City Hearts in Aberdeen. And Jade has had a rough week. I can't go into that because of confidentiality, but she's had a tough week. I just want you to pray for her this morning as we're praying. But then this is what I want us to do. I want us to pray for one another. I want us to pray, God, will you unite me to the people that I'm praying with? Will you help us as a church to do everything that you have got for us? Will you pour out your spirit, God. We seek your face today. We're not just seeking your hand. We seek your face. Will your presence be strong in everything that we do? Our connect groups are starting again on Tuesday. God, will your presence be strong? God, will you help me play my part and do my bit in this amazing house? And if you're a visitor this morning, we'd love to pray for you in your situation, even without even knowing about it. We'd love to pray for you as well. And so what we're going to do, this might, you don't have to be with the person next to you. Maybe there's someone across the room and you go, I just want to go and pray for that person. We can move around. We can move out of rows. We've got some time this morning. But let's just get with some people and let's pray. Let's ask God, God, will you move? If we will, you will. If we come, you'll move. Let's begin to pray prayers like that this morning and believe that God is going to do something incredible. So we've got a few moments. Richard's going to play for us. We've got a few moments to kind of do this. Why don't you just find some people and get and pray with them. Go.